Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Tonight, I am announcing I am suspending my campaign for president.
So there are things we can and should do right away. They can deal with black money, dark money.
There are pro-life Democrats.
I'm not giving up on the hatchet. Don't poke that in my face, okay, buddy?
It's stumbling. It's mumbling. Not pretty.
We stop them. We fight them.
You know why they're trying to destroy his presidency? Because they can't compete with it.
Ooh, boy, that's the truth. Tell you what.
Don't screw around with me.
Joe Biden is on not such a roll these days. He's like that crabby old man on the Sesame Street show. Remember the one that kind of yells at all the kids when they go by, tells you to get off their lawn?
That actually kind of looks like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Like Bernie Sanders.
Like Bernie Sanders. Now Joe Biden's kind of taking that on if you listen to what he's got going on. Wow.
I love him so much. The more he talks, the more I just.
We got to go back and play, although it's short, you got to play the full bite. So Joe Biden is. Left New Hampshire early because he just knew he was going to come in a distant fifth in New Hampshire. Got clobbered by even Amy Klobuchar, who came in third. He got clobbered. So a reporter's trying to ask him why he's so anxious to get out of town. Go to cut four.
And this is it. I'm not concerned about it at all.
This is like you're giving up on New Hampshire.
I'm not giving up on New Hampshire. Don't poke that in my face, okay, buddy?
Buddy. Don't poke that in my face, buddy.
Don't screw around with me.
Yeah, that's what he said to a back during the Obama administration when a Republican reporter, a conservative blogger, I should say, was trying to question him after a speech one time when he came off the stage. Don't mess around with me. Like he's going to take you behind the gym. Like he wants to take Donald Trump behind the gym. I don't think that the tough guy thing is not working for Joe Biden these days. It's just not working. He's kind of lost it there, I think. So we're going to talk more about that for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stacey Washington is going to join us. We're going to get into a couple of these county council issues right now, including the fact that we've now lost Chief Belmar because of some of the changes that are going on at the top of St. Louis County government. Stacey has been attending a lot of these county council meetings, and I want to talk to her about some of that important stuff as well here at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. Right now, though, I want to introduce my guest. She is Dr. Charmaine Yost. She is a vice president now with the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity at the Heritage Foundation. And Dr. Yost, welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. And just for background purposes and letting people know, among other things, you served in the Trump administration recently, right?
I did. I was over at HHS working in Health and Human Services and then went over to the White House working in the Office of National Drug Control Policy on the opioid crisis.
Wow. Fantastic. So, you've gotten to see the inside workings of this administration, which is, you know, has got to be pretty fascinating because I know that the Trump White House does not run like most White Houses, but he's also not a president like most presidents.
Well, you know, he's charting his own path. But I have to tell you, from having been inside the White House, there would be days where, you know, the media was just melting down with how there was all this drama inside the White House. And we'd be having meetings and I'd be looking around at some of the people who were being cited as, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And it was a normal day, and people were working and keeping their head down and paying attention to the priorities that the president had set. So, you know, I think a lot of times there's a lot of clickbait going on and a lot of hyperbole. And, you know, so it was really fascinating to be in the middle of stories that were being reported as a complete meltdown, and everybody was just kind of going about their day and doing their thing.
Well, I love that point, because there's no way that this administration could have been as effective as they've been in the face of a headwind of impeachment and allegations of collusion from day one to have accomplished what they've accomplished at this point on trade and international relations and rebuilding the military and handling immigration. I mean, all of those things have gone on despite day after day after day of negative news stories.
Well, look, I mean, I feel like that's really, when historians look back and write the story of this administration, one of the biggest things they're going to focus on is personnel. I started my career in the Reagan White House, and he was the one who coined the phrase personnel is policy. And I think one of the biggest things that hurt this president coming in was that he didn't come in with a team that he'd been with his whole life. I mean, you think about normal politicians, you know, they come up through the ranks and they've got people they trust and that they know. And Donald Trump didn't have that. People frequently criticize him for having Ivanka and Jared there in the White House, but I look at it and say, you know, that's part of, you know, other people have people like that who've been with them for a long time that they trust and that they know and they just work with. You know, I'm sure that's, you have that too. You know, it's like you've got somebody that you don't have to like explain everything to. You've got that mental shorthand. And so there came in people who weren't on board with the Trump agenda, weren't on board with the conservative agenda. And so then you end up with those drip, drip, drip of leaks and people trying to impose their own policies and from the inside. And I think that that was one of the biggest problems that he faced in the first term.
You know, I have to tell you, Dr. Yost, you just uttered a couple of words that endeared you to me more than you can ever know. And that's that I used to work in the Reagan administration.
That was an amazing honor.
I'll bet that it was. You know, the other day I uttered these words and I couldn't believe that they came out of my mouth because I didn't think they ever would. But what I pointed out about the Trump administration, for the ups and the downs and all of the drama that we've gotten out of the media over this, he has done more for me as a conservative than any conservative president that has ever run for the office in my lifetime since Ronald Reagan. And I don't compare anybody to Ronald Reagan. And I tell people that. I've gotten into arguments with other conservatives. Like, look, he didn't run as a conservative. He admitted that he wasn't a conservative, but he's pro-life. He's pro-military. He's pro-America. And that's important.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, I come out of the pro-life movement. That's part of my background. And I will frequently have people saying to me, you know, kind of in a patronizing way, well, you know, he's not really pro-life, right? And I think, well, first off, you know, define what really pro-life means. This is a president who, you know, I tell my kids all the time, judge people by their actions, not their words, right? That's how you train your kids up. And I feel like we need to kind of remember that that's where what you need to think about politicians too, particularly now that we're in the season of debate season, right?
Right.
You know, words are easy, words are cheap. And I think the other effect of having someone like Donald Trump come into politics who came out of the business world is he does tend to see things from a business perspective more transactional, right? Pro-lifers were a huge centering part of the coalition that brought in Donald Trump. So he kind of looks at it, shrugs and goes, oh, right, the pro-lifers voted for me. This is their agenda. I'm going to do it. You know, oh, are people on the left mad? Why would they be mad? I said, this is what I was going to do. So I was going to do it. It's almost like it's so refreshing because exactly the kind of over the top an absolutely crazed response that you see from the left when he does pro-life things is the reason why other Republican politicians in the past haven't done the pro-life things that Donald Trump has been willing to do because they knew they were going to get that kind of response. But he doesn't care. And so he has just put the pedal to the metal and, continues to come out with new pro-life regulations and rulings and support, you know, even going, you know, take, for example, going and speaking in person at the March for Life. First time in history that a politician has been willing to do that. And actually, what I thought was fascinating about that is the left didn't really come unhinged about that. You know, sometimes politicians do need to just kind of own up to who and what they are and what their supporters want and just do it.
Yeah, that's true. Dr. Charmaine Yost is my guest this morning from the Heritage Foundation. It's funny you mentioned that. Maybe a lot of liberals weren't aware of it because it was one instance where there were hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C., but the mainstream media had no interest in covering it.
Well, right, and exactly kind of the way they haven't covered the story about the guy who ran a truck into some Trump supporters down in Florida last week. You know, the power of the media is the power to cover, but also the power to ignore, which is why the work that you do all day, every day, being on the radio, speaking directly to people, is so important. Is, you know, what gets covered becomes the truth, right? With a small t, obviously, capital T truth is eternal. But, you know, in terms of driving the conversation, the media knows that if they don't talk about something, that it disappears. And frankly, look, we all wish that the president would maybe put the Twitter away on occasion. But he also is tapping into this knowledge that if something doesn't get covered, it vanishes. And so his ability to drive a conversation and keep something in the forefront of the conversation is really powerful.
The Media Research Council does such a great job highlighting that with the number of minutes, positive about the president during impeachment versus the number of negative stories that were done. I mean, it was whoppingly one-sided. It was unbelievable. And you're right. Twitter kind of levels that playing field because he can go to 60 million people and get out his point.
Well, exactly. And, you know, obviously that's been a fascinating dynamic. And I think it's going to be really, really interesting as we move forward into this 2020 campaign. And hey, how about those results last night, right?
In
New Hampshire, even this morning, this tells you what total political nerds we are. The first thing my husband said to me this morning was, you know, what were the final results?
I love it.
Are you and I going to make it through 2020 having to stay up all night, you know, time after time waiting for the results?
Yeah, but you know, and I pointed this out, Dr. Yost, is that I looked at the results of New Hampshire, and I know that New Hampshire is unique and it's a state full of contrarians and all of that, but you could also see it in Iowa, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in Nevada and in the South. But what happened yesterday in my eyes is that 61% of the vote, I tallied it up, went to hard left progressive candidates. And about 25% of the vote went to Joe Biden. And if you want to consider Amy Klobuchar in the moderate camp, just those two, they got about 26% of the vote. I don't know how even an Amy Klobuchar, if she starts to gain more ground, overcomes that. If Warren drops out, all of her support goes to Sanders. And well, I don't, you know, yeah. What's your take on that?
Well, I think you're making a really, really good point that the Democrats are kind of casting around going, oh, hold up, what do we do? Because people are actually voting. You know, I've got friends here in D.C. who kind of keep stroking their chins and saying, oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be Bloomberg or Hillary's going to parachute in. The problem is you have to remember, it is America, and regardless of your political party, we believe in voting. And so at the end of the day, whoever the Democrats nominate has to have won something. And Bernie and Pete Buttigieg are the ones who are winning. You know, that is tremendous momentum moving into the South. And people keep saying that they're going to hit a brick wall in the South. And, you know, I could be totally wrong about this. No one really knows. But I think that, you know, political momentum is such a powerful, powerful thing. And I think they might do better in South Carolina than people think. One of my other things that I did in a previous life was I worked on Mike Huckabee's first presidential campaign. And I'm telling you, it was so much fun to get on the plane after winning in Iowa, going out to New Hampshire. But, you know, it, that kind of momentum that pushes you forward is a real thing.
Yeah, it is. Dr. Charmaine Yost, our guest from Heritage, you know, let's talk about that for a minute, because you worked in the Reagan administration, and I'm sure you know a lot of old school Democrats who are looking at this party now. They're looking at the platform, which, you know, as Pete Buttigieg said the other day, basically, there's no room in our big tent for anybody who's even considers being a pro-life Democrat anymore. This party has moved markedly to the left. My grandfather is rolling over in his grave. As a Democrat today, he wouldn't recognize this party. How does that play with the American electorate moving forward? I mean, they're a party that only exists because of 60 different special interest groups who've kind of banded together to vote now, and they've dragged the party very hard to the left.
Oh, wow. You're putting your finger on something that is so important for the Democrats and that they really have failed to grapple with. I think it's fascinating. Let's take Pete Buttigieg and contrast him with Amy Klobuchar. Buttigieg just went all in on the, yeah, no, pro-lifers not welcome in this this party. Not, you know, I'm paraphrasing, because he's a smarter politician than to say something quite that
yeah.
direct.
He's slick.
Yeah, but Amy Klobuchar, on the other hand, did you see the quote with her where she started kind of trimming her sails? Now, she's every bit as far left as any of them in terms of her actual policies, but in terms of how she positioned herself, she was like, oh, well, of course we want to have pro-lifers yeah. in the tent.
Dr. Yost, we've got that soundbite. Let me play it real quick. Go to cut
nine. First, I say this. I'm strongly pro-choice. I have always been pro-choice. But I believe we're a big tent party, and there are pro-life Democrats, and they are part of our party. And I think we need to build a big tent.
Yep. Somebody's been working with her.
Right? Exactly. I mean, that's very smart and savvy. I mean, honestly, isn't one of the most fascinating dynamics? Of course, you know, the fact that the Democrats are headed towards nominating a socialist is the number one most fascinating thing. But number two is the simultaneous implosion of Elizabeth Warren, while Amy Klobuchar just keeps kind of steadily trucking away, moving away up the ranks. And fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And I think that clip that you just played illustrates maybe why, that she's very canny, and she understands that you don't just go out and say, hey, no, you're not welcome here. You open it up. It's game. Politics is a game of addition, not subtraction. At the end of the day, though, and, you know, Heritage Foundation is about public policy and about the actual facts on the ground. We're not, you know, we don't take a stance, Democrat or Republican, or amongst various politicians. We see our job as making sure that people understand what the positions are. And think how powerful it would be if you had a pro-life Democrat. It would instantly bring the issue back into public debate. And as it stands right now, the issue is held hostage between the two parties because the Democrats are so extreme on the issue. Amy Klobuchar is extreme on the issue.
Yes.
And so it's just smart of her to try to position herself in a more Bill Clinton kind of way. Do you remember Safe, Legal, and Rare and how powerful and effective that was for him?
Yes. Yeah, it's true. Very true. Dr. Yost, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I've really enjoyed having you on the program this morning.
Great to be with you.
You bet. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You bet. Dr. Charmaine Yost there from the Heritage Foundation. Good to understand the policy. That's what Heritage is so good at, is pointing out where these folks stand on these different issues, and then you can decide for yourself if that's what you stand for.
And the reality is, it's not going to get better in all of the ways we need it to get better without a constitutional reform. So there are things we can and should do right away. They can deal with black money, dark money.
Stacey Washington, Stacey on the right, my guest this morning. And Stacey, all I can say about that Pete Buttigieg speech was awk. That was a little awkward. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I'm battling back a little bit of a cold, which I haven't had in over a year and a half, so it feels like a truck is running through my system. I'm like, what is happening to me? Oh, yeah, it's a regular common cold, which I have to thank God for, since we have the coronavirus going all over. You know what I mean? It's like you have to get, kind of take it in. Which of these things is worse than the other? I actually think it's interesting that the Democrats have painted themselves into a corner where they have these candidates that are not palatable to them, but there's nothing they can do about it.
Yes.
Do you remember way back when it was like big news that Bernie Sanders was caucusing with the Democrats?
I do.
And he was an independent socialist, you know, democratic socialist. There were all these little names and people were laughing and scoffing at him and he's a crazy old man and blah, blah, blah. He'll never be anything in our party. They never should have allowed him to caucus with them. The idea that they allowed him into their party, it was just a simple act of saying, come over and caucus with us, because they wanted his vote. Now he's literally not just the face of their party, but he's influencing the direction of their party, leaving out pro-life Democrats. 21 million voters. Amy Klobuchar has woken up to the fact that that's 21 million votes that could help push her over the top, even though she's not even a top-tier candidate right now. And I guess the most interesting thing is that the very heart of the Democrats, what is epitomized by the lady at the caucus, not last night, but the one last week, where she'd offered her vote at the caucus, and then she finds out that Mayor Pete, is he's a practicing homosexual. He's married to a man. And she got really upset and asked for her vote back, and the caucus person was like, well, we need to have a talk about that. And so she tries to convince her otherwise. This is the kind of schism that's forming where they have some extreme views. There's nothing wrong with anyone who wants to run running, but the person who's going to be the standard bearer for any party has to represent most of the party. And so they have a lot of, they call themselves a big tent. And it's kind of a group of people who've gathered together because they think Republicans are racist and they hate us. And they're really trying to find their way forward with a group of people that don't really agree. There's, obviously, we have a big tent on the Republican side, too. We have some differences of opinion, but it's not nearly as marked as what you see on the Democratic side. And it doesn't bode well for their party. I just retweeted Bernie Sanders, who says on Twitter this morning, because I guess he's really feeling pretty awesome about himself. And the response has been really, really, like, a lot of different people are tweeting about it. He says, our victory tonight is the beginning of the end of Donald Trump. Well, I say he's the end of the Democratic Party. Like, the Democrats are not going to be able to survive with Bernie Sanders as their leader. And they don't even want him. They're still in back rooms without the cigars. Now it's serious. They've just probably got tiny shot glasses of vodka trying to figure out how to stop him. And it's pretty impossible because they're the ones who led the teachers unions to radically shift American education away from teaching the Constitution and civics and to teaching this weird new brand of socialism. The reason why people are running from America and countries all over the world, socialism. The reason why we want to come to America, we're not socialists. What does Bernie Sanders want to do? And now all the Democrats turn this into a socialist nation. It's crazy. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I would agree completely. I know that you've done some work on behalf of attracting or at least educating people who have traditionally not voted for the Republican candidate. Do you think this president is making any inroads or will make any significant inroads with African Americans this year?
Well, poll numbers already show he's up to 34% with black men and 16% overall. And that's just, we're just getting started. We're just ramping up in the coalitions that I'm working on. And that the coalitions I'm on are Veterans for Trump and Blacks for Trump.
Right.
And you're going to start seeing us all over the country popping up at the rallies and supporting the president, but also going out and knocking doors and doing that retail politics portion that the Republicans have traditionally been accused of not participating in the black community. And part of the reason why I'm on the coalition is I want to see that change.
Good.
I want to see the Republicans talk to the black community in the same way that we talk to other constituency groups. We have a message for black America, and it's not what do you have to lose. It's look at what you gained. Americans overall are doing better, but the best minority group participation and performance in the Trump economy is with black Americans and those who are on the lower end of the wage scale. So black Americans represent every spectrum of socioeconomics, and we want to talk to them about how the Trump economy benefits them in every way. Deregulation benefits all of us in every way. So this is an exciting time. Obviously, I think it's a clown show over on the left, but it's a perfect contrast to what the president has brought to Americans, which is economic prosperity, religious freedom, and the ability to simply let the government be so you can live your life and participate in every aspect of being an American without having someone tell you how to do it, where to do it, or specifically what you can do with it. It's true. Your life. You should be able to live it. Mark, yeah. I just want to say, head over to StacyOnTheRight.com. I went to the county council meeting last night, and I was inspired to start something called the County Council Diaries. It's over at StacyOnTheRight.com. You can read about everything that happened there last night, including public comment. And I also recapped the first two meetings. So I've been to three of them so far, 3 weeks in a row. And I think it's interesting, and I'm counting it out here, kind of sharing it, because I want people to get involved in their local government. National politics is important, but the county council is making moves that are really impacting all of us.
Sure.
Some pretty disturbing ways in some cases, yeah. And I want people to be aware.
I watched a few of your comments last night, and this is so important that people pay attention to this. Number one, county council is moving one of its meetings to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which means nobody's going to be there. It's just a good way of eliminating the public from showing up, because unless you're unemployed or work from home maybe and can take the time off, how do you go to a 1 o'clock in the afternoon meeting? What are they trying to hide?
It's not even lunchtime. It's not even lunchtime.
Right.
And the reason given for it was that some of the county council members have children, little kids, they want to tuck into bed. And the response to that is obviously, I mean, don't we all have kids?
Thank you.
I don't mind telling you, our 16-year-old, I want to spend every minute with her. She's the last kid left at home. I don't want to go to a county council meeting on Monday night and spend time away from my 16-year-old. I mean, it doesn't matter if your kid is tiny and has chubby cheeks or if they're a beautiful 16-year-old who's brilliant, who enthralls your every moment of your every day. You want to be with your kids, and especially in the evening when it's dark and it's the wintertime. But guess what? They chose to be elected to go to the county council. So it's like, you know, give me a break. Come on, we're all adults here. It's one meeting a week. And if I've been going for 3 weeks and you're paid to go and you go, you know, however many weeks they meet out of a 52-week year, that's what you chose to do. But Mark, last night in my public comment, I reminded them that while they may see themselves as a squad, they have control over the county council, and they're obligated to work with the Republicans who are on the council, who are in the minority. There are three of them, and they're obligated to do that not because they're the squad or because they're in control, but because they chose to be elected and they represent all of us. They chose to do a job that the rest of us don't want to do, and that comes with a responsibility. They owe us their participation, which means working with the Republicans. And I reminded them of that in a very kind way, because I'm not against them. I'm actually praying for these people. I want them to have good leadership, because our county is a wonderful place to live. We are blessed to be in St. Louis County. It is a real gem when it comes to places to live across the country. And I don't want to see people ruin it because they're on some email listserv from the National Democrats. This
right.
is not Boston or San Francisco or Austin. This is St. Louis. And I want people to participate, because if they decide to try to take us to Boston or San Francisco, we in St. Louis County have to decide whether these are the right people to be in charge of us.
What a great point. The St. Louis County Council Diary is right there on Stacy's website, StacyOnTheRight.com. Hey, I hope you feel better soon. Thank you for spending some time.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Stacy Washington there, recovering from a cold, so I hope she gets over that quickly. It's good. Better than the alternative,
else.
Right, which
yeah.
is coronavirus these days.
Yeah.
No kidding. All right, 314-241-9797. City Recorder Michael Butler going to join us about 8:10. We'll get his take on what's going on in the political world these days. We'll be right back. So we're keeping an eye on this Baumeister situation. Did I say it right that time?
Baumeister.
Baumeister.
So
I used to work with
to
a guy named
fancy,
Baumeister, and it really screws me up every time I try to say his name.
You changed the name of that guy, too, now.
Baumeister is his name. It was his name. I know him. He listens to the show. I'm just saying, Baumeister is hard for me to get used
Baumeister.
To saying. Baumeister. But I'm glad that he's doing okay this morning, right? They had to use the paddles on him last night at the game. The team's still in L.A., apparently, and they've got to go to Vegas for a game tomorrow, I think.
Yes, they're playing Vegas tomorrow night, yep.
So if we get any updates on him this morning, that was a scary situation, man.
Absolutely.
Everybody was yeah. tweeting about that last night. They stopped the game.
It's national
panic.
News, yeah.
Sure it
Big
is.
Fox
yeah.
has been sure covering it.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's nothing serious. Maybe just electrolyte problems. Let's hope that's all it was. Nothing too serious. Get him back on the ice.
Dr. Cox over there.
Hey, I'm telling you what. You got to play. 314-241-9797. Michael Butler's coming up. He's the recorder of deeds for the city. We're going to get to the bottom line. We'll talk a little local politics. We'll talk a little national politics.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.